And my mother passed away on March 15th. I had a prisoner that I had taken to Richmond, and Mama called me on the day that she died, and she said what I told you about the apocalypse is upon us and whatnot. While I had the first StarTax in the state of Virginia. That's a cell phone that you would never recognize. Back in the old days, people had those huge phones where our phones were that big. That's why they called them StarTax. And they flipped over. They only had an hour life talk time. I mean, and you could put the extra big battery on the back that gave you 3 hours, and that was like supposed to be great. $1,200 a piece. And I had a cord in my ear, and I'm talking to my mom while I'm walking up on this Jamaican guy that's wanted in Richmond for jumping bond. $2,500 gonna go in my pocket. That's how I looked at it. I didn't look at people. Well, I looked at people as people, but I looked at the money. But in all the years that I arrested people, 2,339, I held the record. They actually kept records of it. I only had one complaint, and the guy was a snitch for the police. And I didn't have much choice. He was also gay. And every time I turned around, I'd do something to help the gay people, and they throw me under the bus. And I remember what my mother said when she found out one of her friends called her and told her that her son was a street walker. She took her down there to find me. She couldn't find me. Mama threw me out. I was 16 then, but she let me come back. She threw me out. I was gone for about 3 days. And she said, why? I said, somebody had to pay the bills. And it broke her heart. It broke her heart. When her boyfriend molested me, I told her she was in the hospital. At first she was angry, then she wouldn't believe me. But when I was 24, and he was in the hospital dying, she begged me to come get her, and I took her to Ronald Memorial Hospital, saying, but God is always, people who have done me wrong, God takes care of them. For the lieutenant who put me in deep isolation and came and got me and said, you've been in here 261 days, you faggot nigger. Said, how'd it feel? I said, I felt like I just got here yesterday. And it just cracked his face. But the one thing that really got him, would you close that door right there? The one thing that really got him was this. His beautiful blonde-headed baby, the daughter that he had, his son was nothing. His son was terrible. But his daughter was his heart. Now, he actually made it through the heart attack. And he wouldn't be bothered with them at first. But when they got to kindergarten, first grade, they on his knee. I saw him in an assembly with them on his knee. And he was the grandpa then. And I just laughed. I had to laugh. Half my family's white, you know. So, God has always made it so that when people did me wrong, he did me right. I was not smart enough to get out all of the cases that I did. But the thing about it is that God put people in my life. Over the years, I had been beaten severely by a policeman. And I'll show you how much they stood behind each other. They were going to fire him, but they didn't. And they gave me a polygraph and told me I didn't even pass my own name. So I didn't even get my own name right. They'll tell you anything. Yeah. That's what gay people had to deal with. Of course, some of the stuff that they did was their own problems, too. I never went in the bookstore to have sex with somebody. If I was going to have sex, it'd be in my house in my hotel room. You know, people don't want to see that mess. You know, I've raised 25 children that are not mine, that were gay, that people threw away. I mean, I really went through a whole lot. I was sitting beside my mother, an officer came up to me, and like I told you, my mama was my greatest love. And he asked me, where was my red dress at? And I said, your daddy bought it, your short sawed off SOB. He said, you're under arrest. I said, what for? He said, threatening a police officer. I said, you better not put your hands on me. Dead now, but it was the black judge from Roanoke County. He would never pay his paper bill. I was his paper boy. He never paid his bill. And him and my mom were friends. He knew how bad I needed the money. He wasn't a good guy. He always found me guilty every time I come in his courtroom. But the officer grabbed me, and I noticed I had all these police officers and deputies on me, but nobody's trying to hurt me. They let me hurt the one up under me because nobody liked it. See? And then he handcuffed me, and there used to be a crosswalk between the courthouse and the old police station. It's gone now. Got me down to the magistrate's office, and the magistrate didn't even like it. The magistrate told me, he told him to leave the room, and he told me, he said, when you come back down from court, I'm going to PR you. I said, okay. I said, he threw me down a flight of steps. He said, I can tell. I'm not that bad of a person. But at the courthouse has always had the deck stacked against gay people. And I didn't carry myself as one, but I'd be damned if I was going to let anybody pick on one. My best friend died beside me. His father was one of the wealthiest men in the city, and because his son had AIDS and he was gay, and his daddy knew it, he wouldn't do anything for him. Till I went to him and I raised a whole lot of hell. Then he turned around and he decided to get his son an apartment next door to me so that I could take care of him. So I've been through a lot. It's been a horrible, my child life was horrible, but my adult life has gotten better. And just here recently, 2.5 weeks ago, I filed a lawsuit against the Gaylikes Police Department for $3 million for arresting me because they claimed that I had a protective order and they knew I did not have a protective order. And they were told by Roanoke City that I did not have a protective order, and they still arrested me. And I had a torn rotator cuff. They arrested me, put my hands behind my back. And took me down to the jail on a Sunday morning I was supposed to preach. Now, what they don't know is the law still stands. You're not allowed to arrest a preacher on Sunday morning. Did you know that? Yeah, that's an old law. Still on the books. But especially you can't arrest him for a misdemeanor. For a felony, yes. But not just that. But I hadn't committed a crime. The police department had made a mistake in the paperwork. I had a young lady to lie on me. Anytime I've ever gotten in trouble because somebody lied. I learned that people's perception of their reality. We'll just put this in here. They turned around and took me down to the jail after they had been told by the chief of police, even after the state police had told them I didn't have a protective order for wearing this gun. But here was the thing about it. Nobody ever pulled me over. I never saw a police officer. I was going through my divorce, but I didn't have no gun. I wasn't even in town on the day that they claimed that I was wearing a gun in their city. I was actually in another city protecting a judge. Now, how'd that sound? Yeah. I didn't even know the officer that got the warrant for me. And then the other officer who got a warrant for me, I didn't have no gun that night. And I got five witnesses carrying on. And I still went down and prayed for them. All the black preachers came down and prayed for all the white police officers, because they ain't had no blacks on the Gilaxi Police Department. The one that they had, they got rid of. They got a Mexican now. And, I mean, it's, this stuff is going to always be around. I used to think it was because they said, well, because you're gay. It ain't because you're gay. It's because people just mean. And the thing that really, really flipped my wig, gay people got it better than they ever had it before. And they still want to push. I was barred from the park for life 10 times. 10 different times. The owners, same owner, would bar me for life. I get barred for life, barred for life. Every time I open up a gay bar somewhere else, I wasn't barred for life no more, you know? So, I don't know. In the 80s and in the 90s, if it hadn't been for AIDS, this city was so corrupted by sex. That's all they did. Drink, snort cocaine, and have sex. Lawyers, judges, doctors, you couldn't find morality anywhere. And that's what used to crack me up about the Vice. They call them the morale police. Hell, they didn't have no morale. And I used to tell them all the time, look, my mama told me when I was young, if it smell like pork, ain't no need of tasting it. It is pork, and I got high blood pressure. I don't do pigs for free. I had a few friends that were police officers, and they paid for it. All right, one last good story. Y'all look it up in the newspapers. You'll see where there was a house on Highland Avenue that was known as the prostitution house. I was arrested in that house. I wasn't prostituting in the house. I was visiting my supposed boyfriend at the time. The Vice kicked in the door, and when they did, it had a big glass knob. It hit us in his hip and broke his hip. We had to carry him two blocks down the street to Lott's Funeral Home so the ambulance could pick him up. He didn't know the police was coming that night. I did. He didn't. So that's the only sex story you get out of me. So I don't know what else to tell you other than I loved Roanoke City. And I've given a lot for this city, and I fought hard against this city. And I don't know where the bodies are, but I do know where the underwear fell. I tell them that all the way, all the time. If it hadn't been for, I'd have got that $1 million. You know, Hustler magazine offered $1 million for anybody that had ever had sex with a congressman or a senator. And I was getting ready to call when I was told that my brains would be blown out. And I'm the type of person, whenever you tell me that, you got to prove it to me. I don't go so easy. I got arrested down. Well, you see where we're at, right? Okay, this is where I work. I can't go downstairs and eat. You know why? Because in 1993, it took 17 police officers to arrest me downstairs. A man by the, you remember Major Hassan, the one that shot all the people down at Fort Hood? With his, and I got to fight downstairs. In 1993, maybe 92. And I did $36,000 worth of damage downstairs. But the owner up here is still my friend. So I did $36,000 worth of damage. 17 police officers it took to arrest me. Man hit me in the face with a glass beer mug, and I lost my mind. When they had me in court that day, Judge Harris said, being a police officer is a prerequisite of getting your ass whooped. And if you tell me that 17 of y'all, that's what it took to bring a man who wears wig and high heels to jail, I'm going to tell you I'm dismissing the case already, because y'all ain't nothing but a bunch of punks. So, of course, he knew that I was a hard way to roll.